Business AM.
Radio Special Cybersecurity.
Opnieuw welkom. U luistert of kijkt nog steeds naar Business AM, naar deze special over cybersecurity en wel met Nina Schick, auteur en internationaal adviseur over generative AI. Miss Schick, can you tell me a bit more about DALL-E, the second version of the original DALL-E machine? What can it do? What are the dangers?
So DALL-E is a so-called foundational model. Now, when it comes to generative AI, foundational models are a really new phenomenon. And what is a foundational model? A foundational model is a type of AI system that can generate content that is not task-specific, meaning it can do anything. And in this case, anything means images. So it can generate any image, and you do it by prompting it with text. So you basically just ask it what you want it to create, and then it does that based on an interpretation of the text prompt that you give it. Now, DALL-E is a mashup of Salvador Dali, the surrealist artist, and WALL-E, you know, the robots. I think it's from Pixar. And it was developed by OpenAI, which is a nonprofit company. Well, it started as a nonprofit, which is now very much a for-profit company based in the US in San Francisco, which has been one of the most important players in the generative AI space. They're also the developers of ChatGPT. And DALL-E 2, the better version of DALL-E, was only released in early 2022. I don't think it's even been a year yet. Mm-hmm. It was truly phenomenal because it was one of the first times the public or the interested public, myself included, got to play with a foundational model. You put in a text and then it comes out with the image from that text prompt. Astounding. Mm-hmm. So since DALL-E came out about a year ago, you've been starting to see many more foundational models that do the same. They can generate images from text prompts. But DALL-E, when it first came out, was behind rails, meaning if you can generate any image from a text prompt, you probably don't want to open it up to everyone because the potential for abuse or misinformation or disinformation or creating images that are harmful, malicious, is high. So DALL-E was released under kind of strict control and not everyone had access to it. But within months, there were new foundational models that could generate images. I'm thinking about Stable Diffusion that were released open source. And they were so impactful, and so many millions of people started playing with them, that within a matter of weeks, OpenAI, which does think, I have no doubt, very carefully about safety and ethics, probably felt the market moved and very quickly released kind of these access rails around not only DALL-E, but the other generative models they've been developing as well. So DALL-E is important as a foundational model, and also some as a very accessible.
And how good is the output? Because I think it might be a gimmick for the creative advertising industry only, or not?
The output is incredible. But you have to learn how to use the system. So the best outputs are from the people who do the best prompts. Where is this going to be applicable? Well, in design, in ad collateral, in images, in any kind of creative image content generation. This is like the legitimate uses. And of course, the output can also be used in a very malicious way. But the trend, when you think about these generative models, because so far we're so early in the journey, these models have become masters of one digital medium, meaning you have a model for audio, you have a model for images like DALL-E, then you have a model for text like ChatGPT or GPT-4. ChatGPT is just an application of GPT-3.5. But the trend going forward is to have multimodal models, so models that can work with audio, image, video, and text all together.
Mm-hmm. 6.6 billion people now have a smartphone. That is almost 85% of humanity. Do we actually want to live in a virtual world? Because we have started to create it, and in about 15 years' time, we might be in the thick of it. Is this the way forward for humanity? Or is it all this just the wettest dream ever for the tech fellies in the world?
That's a deep philosophical question, which I don't have a definitive answer to. But the reality is that we already live kind of in a virtual reality, because every single one of us, it doesn't matter if you're an organization, a nation state, an individual, you have to exist in the digital ecosystem, right? You don't have a choice anymore. If you don't want to exist in that ecosystem, you have to take a very radical measure, which is like cutting yourself off from society and shunning society and going to live in the Amazon where there's no devices, you can't be tracked, you have no email. That's not really a choice. Well, it is a choice, but it's a very radical choice, and it's a choice that will be too difficult for many people to make. So we already kind of live in a virtual reality, and the layer of generative AI into the infrastructure that we've already built with the internet, social media, the entire kind of ecosystem that's developed over the last 30 years is only going to augment that, where our experience of being human, our experience of being alive, is so much of it will be in this digital ecosystem. So this is why I think not debating the merits of whether or not this is the right way for humanity, because, you know, again, that's a philosophical question I don't have an answer to. But it is fundamentally going to change our experience of being human. And it's fundamentally going to change the way we live, work, even think.
Yes. For most new technologies, tech companies are the driver of new business. Specifically, the competition between those companies can drive the laboratory process into real consumer and profitable processes. In this case, porn could become an important flag carrier. What is porn supposed to do to launch generative artificial intelligence into the mind and pockets of humanity?
So porn in this context is a pioneering use case, because it was just the same with the internet. What do people do when they have these powerful digital content creation infrastructure and tools? Well, first with the internet, they went to find porn. With generative AI, they made porn. Pioneering in a really malicious way, though, because it was weaponizing generative AI against women who were having their identity stolen and just abused in this most harmful and pernicious and personal way. With regards to generative AI and porn, I mean, I think there are a few companies right now that are trying to develop AI generated pornographic content, which isn't necessarily stealing someone's identity, but they're saying, oh, this is completely AI generated porn, so we should be able to engage with this as a content experience. But there's lots of ethical implications, because that would have been trained on training data of authentic porn, and was that taken with consent or not? Did like the people who were in the training data, were they was this private content, or were they pornographic actors? And if so, was this content now generated with their consent? So yeah, I mean, with porn, it just has a historical place of significance in the evolution of the entire digital information ecosystem. And I think that where you're going to start to see things getting really weird on an interpersonal relationship level as well is going to be around questions of porn, and how that warps people's perceptions of relationships, intimacy, and sex. We already know that is a fact and already happens. But once you throw in the AI-generated content part of it, and people start engaging with this in a virtual sense, and they can, you know, imagine that they're wherever they want to be, and they have virtual chatbot-powered girlfriends, it's going to become a very strange place.
How are we going to navigate this new era? Should companies pave the way first, or is each individual user responsible for every step he or she wants to take into this new domain? If so, what are the safety rails?
Navigating this new era, I think the first step is conceptualizing the pace and the scale and the extent of change. And then in terms of who leads the way, it can't be one person, one company, one nation state. It's a society-wide effort. And I think the most important thing is the understanding that none of this is inevitable. These are not forces that are completely out of human control. They're still within our hands. We have the power to decide how these systems are going to be deployed, used, and how they're going to shape our societies. So with the conceptual understanding of the scale of what is happening, and then that being followed by the understanding of our agency to shape these tools and systems to how we want them to be, I think those are the most important fundamental next steps.
Mm-hmm. We zijn nog lang niet uitgepraat en zijn zo terug met het laatste deel van het gesprek met Nina Schick over Generative Artificial Intelligence.
Business AM, Radio Special Cybersecurity.